And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to our first House of Wellness show for this year, and we'll be right here with you each Sunday from 8 until 9 a.m. My name is Luke Hines, and today I am pumped to be joined by Seize the Yay podcaster and author Sarah Davidson. Good morning, Sez.
Good morning and welcome back.
What a
Happy
good
New Year.
Vibe to start the year with your smiling face, and of course, my partner in crime, who is going to be here each and every week, just giving me so much joy, our resident pharmacist and master herbalist, Gerald Quigley. Welcome.
Good morning, Hinesy. Good morning, Sarah. Terrific to see you both. Happy New Year to you.
You guys make me so happy. Look at those beautiful faces.
This is unscripted, by the way.
This Sarah is unscripted. I'm just feeling good this morning.
But you were looking at me, not him. How come?
Guys, we're in for a massive year, a really, really exciting year. I think a lot of people are feeling that in 2024, it is their year. We've had a few rough trots over the last few years, and I really hope people are feeling inspired. And that's what we're here to do every Sunday from 8 a.m. across the Nine Radio Network. We want to inspire you to look, think, and feel your best. So it's wonderful to have your company. A really, really great topic to start the show, something close to my heart as a non-drinker. We're going to look at Dry January. Now, this is the idea of taking a month off alcohol for our general well-being. Now, we're going to get some tips on how to do this. Now, I'm quite unique in that I'm quite happy
in
for
many ways. Yeah.
let's just back up. Let's back up a little here, which has got to be the call of 2024 already.
Yeah,
says Luke Hines. I'm quite unique
in that comfortable being
I'm
a non-drinker.
Bowled over by that news.
Quite comfortable being a non-drinker, but I know that's not everyone's cup of tea. For some people, they like to just do it for a period of time, whether it be for their physical health, their mental health, or perhaps raising money for a charity. Where do you guys sit on that spectrum? Do you do it throughout the year?
I am pregnant at the moment, so no, I am not currently.
You've cut down.
I've cut right back. But I'm generally not a big drinker, and I was a complete non-drinker for maybe 7 years. So I'm quite unique along
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, wow. And GQ.
Well, I'm celebrating Sarah's pregnancy. So
he's evening out the stats.
Well, no, but I think as time goes by, and Philippa will be listening, shaking her head when I say this, but I think as time goes by, you tend to be more sensible in that you have less, but probably if you can, better quality.
Yeah.
So that's my philosophy. But I think in terms of a conversation over a meal, I'm sorry, I'm very old-fashioned about that, and I think a glass of wine's important.
Absolutely. It's a good chat we're going to have with clinical nutritionist Lee Holmes about abstaining from booze for a month and the way forward to healthy eating in 2024. That feels weird to say that. We're also going to explore how to work and live with people who can be very difficult, along with some good habits to put in place to achieve those New Year's resolutions that so many of us make but never keep. How are you guys when it comes to confronting difficult people in the workplace or
unique
personal
people
life?
Like you or difficult people?
Let's go difficult.
It's a pity that we've probably now, and it's funny how things have changed, that we all used to enjoy conversations where you'd hear an opposite point of view and you'd be able to have a respectful conversation. I think the art of respectable conversation and debate, and whether it starts in Parliament, whether you will yell at each other, but you just wonder whether the thread of society and respectful debate is disappearing.
We're going to chat with clinical psychologist and best-selling author Dr. Rebecca Ray on good habits to put in place to achieve our goals, along with how to manage difficult people, which she has written a book on. So this is the absolute expert we need to be talking to. And with power outages across the country due to this wild weather we're having, we look at food safety and how to store it when the power switches off. That's with Lydia Bookman, a spokesman for the Food Safety Information Council. But I don't want you guys to forget, each and every Sunday, we're here for you. So I want you to take this number down, even save it in your phone. It's 131-873. Now, that phone line is available right now, and you can call about any health-related topic, food, nutrition, training, diet, medication, supplements, whatever it is you want to talk about. This show is all about you each and every week. But next up, the benefits of taking a month off booze right here on The House of Wellness.
You're listening to The House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings. The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Thero Grad C at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Take our number down, 131-873. Even better, give us a call right now. We're ready to take them on any health and wellness issue you might like to chat to us about. Sarah's here, GQ's here, and I'm here. Give us a call on any of your health issues. Dry January, but you haven't heard that before, is popular in the Northern Hemisphere and is now gaining traction here after the indulgences of the festive season. It's actually, I think it's a better time than July. It involves taking a month off alcohol purely for lifestyle reasons. Joining us on the line is clinical nutritionist and author, but I've got to add also, dear friend Lee Holmes, to talk us through the benefits of a month off the booze. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
I'm really well. How are you going?
Well, as much as I'd love to catch up just because we're friends, we are here to talk about a topic. So I'm going to hit you with the first question. What can we gain health-wise if we take a month off drinking?
I think so many things, actually. But obviously everyone is different. But research shows that going off alcohol for 31 days, you can really help maintain a healthy weight. So that's a really good thing. But because the benefit of weight loss, because alcoholic beverages, you know, they have a lot of calories in them, so when you cut them out, you can definitely drop a little bit of weight. Sleep as well is a really good thing, because when you're drinking alcohol, it can really interfere with your sleep patterns, and you can get really dysregulated and disrupted sleep. And so going off alcohol can really help your sleep become more regulated, and that means lots more energy the next day. And also a big one is your liver, because the liver really does play a crucial role in metabolizing alcohol. And when you go off it for a month, you can really give your liver a really good rest.
Lee, it is so lovely to catch up. I too wish that we could catch up as friends, but it would be remiss of me not to tap into your wealth of knowledge. If we are taking a month or even more off drinking, how do people who maybe haven't done it before prepare for it? Do you just go cold turkey? Do you do it in stages? Do you have any tips on kind of how you integrate a dry January?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for a lot of people it's really hard to go cold turkey. It's quite challenging. So what I think that one of the best things to do is to just plan ahead for it. So, for example, if you're taking a break from alcohol, really think about why you're doing it, like assessing your relationship with alcohol. Is it because of a specific health need? Is it weight loss? Why are you doing it? And that's going to really help you stay motivated. And also, I think it's really good to be prepared so that you can let your friends and family know about your decision, because that way you've got more support around you as well. Mm. And you can also be prepared by maybe signing up for some other things, like, you know, joining a gym or doing more walking and things like that. So, yeah, there's a few reasons to be prepared for it. And I think that's probably the best way to do it for a lot of people.
Lee, it's halfway through January. Can I do half a dry January?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it would not do you any harm, and it definitely would. And you can even go into Feb as well. Half Feb, half Jan.
Complicated.
And Lee, what about swapping things out? Like, what should we be drinking as a substitute? I know sometimes it's quite habitual for people. So what can stop you reaching for that glass?
I think if you're drinking things that you like to drink, at the moment, I've noticed that there's some really good non-alcoholic alternatives, and things like mocktails and things like that. You probably noticed that too. I personally, at the moment, I'm really into sparkling coconut water, the flavoured ones. You know, the ones with like ice and passion fruit.
Yeah,
they're so good. I'm really into them at the moment. Iced teas are really good as well, because you can sort of make it fancy by adding some mint and some lemon. Obviously, yeah, water's going to be probably your best bet. Got no calories, it's going to be hydrating. But there's kombucha as well, which is very popular as well. So there's lots of choices, I think.
Lee, for those of us that won't take a break from alcohol over Dry January, can I get three really good tips from you about how to actually drink smarter if you're going to drink? Three good tips.
Three good tips. I think spacing out your drinks is a really good thing to do. Take your time with it. Sip and savour the flavour, as they say. You'll probably end up drinking less and enjoying it more. So just slowing down.
Yeah.
Maybe set some goals before heading out. Like maybe say to yourself, three is enough. I'm just going to have three.
Yep.
And then I'm done. And then also think about tomorrow. You know, if you've got something on tomorrow, do you really want to tackle it with a hangover?
Yeah.
That will kind of help you stay on track as well, I'd say.
Yeah, look, Lee, we love you. We love this topic. Thank you so much for coming on our show today. And if you want more tips from Lee on healthy living, you can check out her website, which is superchargedfood.com. Lee, have an amazing Sunday. We're going to jump into some calls. Henry from Roeville, good morning.
Good morning, Henry.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure. How can we help?
I've got hypertension, so I've been on blood pressure medication for a few years now. Uh-huh. And I was on Repten 510. Uh-huh. And the doctor changed it to 1010, and so he changed one of the ingredients. And now it's causing my feet and the ankles to swell.
Time to give him a call, Henry, or go and see him, because some hypertension or elevated blood pressure medications can actually cause fluid retention. And usually what will happen, you may be put back onto your previous dose with a small dose of a separate fluid tablet. But that's the doctor's call. But the important thing is report that back, because fluid retention is not good, but it puts a lot of pressure on your heart. So go back this week, Henry, make a few notes, make sure you discuss the important things, because we've probably got a lot of hot, humid weather still to come, and that doesn't help either.
Thanks for the call, Henry. Let's go to Sandra in Greenpoint. Good morning.
Hello, Sandra.
Hello.
Yes, Sandra, how can we help?
I have bursitis in my left hip, and I've seen the doctor about it, and I'm also on dialysis.
Right.
And all he recommends is a cortisone injection.
Yes.
Or physio. And I've had a cortisone injection twice before, but it doesn't seem to do anything.
Were they guided injections, Sandra?
Yes.
They were, and still didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
Look, bursitis can really, it can be just awful to have to deal with. So there are some things you can take. And the specific ingredient's called MSM. It's got three initials. And that's my favourite nutrient specifically for bursitis. But you're going to have to perhaps have a more in-depth discussion with your doctor, because if it's not controlled, you can end up down joint replacement territory. And that's really the last option. So keep your GP informed. Maybe you get a different person to give you that guided injection so they can locate the spot that's affected. But that's, again, very close communication with your doctor.
Thank you so much for the call, Sandra. Keep those calls coming in. We're going to get back to more of those here, right here on The House of Wellness.
You're listening to The House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Are hay fever allergies holding your child back? Try Telfast from Chemist Warehouse. Telfast 180 milligram gives fast-acting non-drowsy hay fever relief for kids over 12 years, while Telfast oral liquid helps kids over 6 months with hives and kids over 2 years with hay fever in year-round allergies. Get your kids back outdoors with Telfast, available at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Telfast at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Please give us a call. Our number, 131-873. It can be anything health-related. Maybe you want some recipe ideas to increase your protein or good healthy fats or carbs. It might be a medication advice. It could be about a supplement you're interested in trying. Give us a call, 131-873. One thing we're starting to see a lot of, guys, is conversations around obviously how we eat well, how we move our body, but also sleep health is becoming a bit of a buzzword these days, and the type of environment that we're creating to have good sleep health. Now, just thinking off the top of my head, I know that the room should be fairly dark. We should be thinking about a good temperature, not too hot, not too cold, making sure that we minimize noise. But there's an article that's just come out on news, and this is a doctor revealing why you should never fall asleep in front of the TV. And I've got to confess,
I felt personally attacked by that headline.
Whether I like it or not, it could be 7 p.m. and I'll fall asleep in front of the TV because I'm just simply so tired. Do you guys fall asleep like at night time though, like late at night, and then just doze off and wake up at a weird time?
I thought just falling asleep at night was normal.
In front of the TV.
I'm staggered that we've got, you mentioned it was a doctor. He's from New York. I mean, he's a guy in New York.
Yep.
Probably the unhealthiest country in the world, as in the US.
Well, it's a state.
Telling us...
and a city.
But the country of US, telling us how to run our lives. I just find, you know, he needs to get a life. Just leave us alone.
No. I feel like this is a conversation from someone who nods off.
I'm hearing note of defensiveness over from Gerald's corner.
Because he looks like a nodder offer, doesn't he?
No, I don't nod off. I tend to read.
Oh, yeah.
I do think the light from devices and screens interrupts your REM cycle. It changes the melatonin.
Yes.
Knowing all that information, do I do anything about it? No, I do not. I still fall asleep in front of the TV. It's just, I think it's very habitual for me. I get lulled into a sense of like, this is relaxed time. And then I just fall asleep and I forget that the screen's still on.
And when is it happening? It's after your evening meal, which is usually the larger meal of the day.
Yeah.
And you eat, then your sugar levels rise, your insulin levels rise. And depending how quickly you metabolize those carbs, you will naturally feel drowsy.
I've got memories. Do you remember DVD players? I remember waking up to the DVD logo bouncing around the screen. You know you've nodded off if the DVD logo's there. But the study found that those that sleep with even the slightest amount of ambient lighting in the room were more likely to suffer diabetes, obesity, and hypertension. So I guess the biggest take home here for anyone listening is try to create a better sleep environment before bed, which means less screen time, maybe doing what Gerald does, which is read, lowering the lighting so it doesn't feel like a convenience store in there, and making sure that you're doing all the right things, switching off from your emails, trying to de-stress and really take some time.
So what you're saying, we've got this New York expert telling us the bleeding obvious.
Yeah, the country of New York, GQ. let's jump into some of your calls right now. Let's go to Bruce from Marion, Victoria. Good morning.
Hello, Bruce.
Good morning. About 7 weeks ago, I was struck down overnight with polymyalgia rheumatica.
Yes.
And I've been on steroids for nearly 5 weeks, and it was a dramatic improvement after a day, but really nothing much has happened since then. So I'm just wondering what the procedure is.
You're on the same dose of the steroids, Bruce, or has that dose been dropped away?
No, the theory was it was going to be dropped away after 5 weeks. I've got an appointment in 2 days' time. But,
yes.
I mean, I really haven't, like, I'm still very stiff in the neck, arms and shoulders and restricted.
Yes, the normal thing that will happen, Bruce, is that your steroids will be continued probably at that dose or a higher dose, because what the steroid does is give an immediate, in theory, an immediate drop in the inflammation levels to make you feel more comfortable, and once that happens, you tend to recover from it fairly quickly. So the discussion with your GP will be interesting. Write down a few thoughts, how it did improve in the first couple of days, then has leveled off, and then the doctor will make a call as to whether the steroid dose will either be changed, increased, or perhaps altered to a different sort of steroid. But again, making the notes the most important thing, Bruce. Let us know next week how you got on.
Thanks for the call, Bruce. Let's go to Pat in Vermont. Good morning.
Hello, Pat.
Oh, hello. I was just ringing up about a problem I have mainly at night when I go to bed with this sensation in my leg. It's like a burning from the waist down, very strong, right down the back of my legs, and I find it hard to go to sleep. Now, I take one magnesium tablet before I go to bed, and then through the night I take another half of the magnesium. Am I able to take two a day?
Yes, you can, Pat, but look, magnesium works on muscles. What you're finding, those sensations are actually from nerves. So a better idea is to add the combination of lipoic acid, which you can buy from your pharmacy or health food store, L-I-P-O-I-C. You get a 400 milligram tablet. Have that twice a day. And that's after food, by the way. And add to that, maintain your magnesium, but add to that some high-dose turmeric as well, and those two things will settle the nerve endings down. So it's a different thing. The magnesium plays a tiny role, but not a big role. The other two things, lipoic acid and turmeric, it will make a difference quite quickly.
Such incredible calls coming through. Thank you, Pat. We'll get to more of your calls in a moment, but next up, ways to stay positive and kick off those goals in 2024 right here on The House of Wellness.
You're listening to The House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Are you tired of feeling tired? Is iron deficiency holding you back? Let Ferrograd C help. With just one tablet a day, you'll get the iron your body needs along with added vitamin C to help iron absorption. Fight the fatigue of iron deficiency with Ferrograd C, available at Chemist Warehouse. For the treatment of medically diagnosed iron deficiency when your doctor has recommended therapeutic oral iron, always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Cetaphil at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back. You are listening to The House of Wellness, and be sure to phone us in 131873. We'd love to hear from you, and we're going to jump into some more calls in just a moment. But first, more than 14 million Australians have set New Year's resolutions for this year, and as we know, they're easy to make, but even easier to break. Joining us on the line is Dr. Rebecca Ray, a clinical psychologist and best-selling author, to give us some tips on how to achieve our goals for this year and to discuss the topic of her new book, Difficult People. Welcome to the show, Beck. Why do so many New Year's resolutions fail? In fact, is it even worth making them?
That's a great question, is it? Hi, folks. Thanks so much for having me. I think this topic is possibly on the minds of many people in the country right now, in the world even. I do think it's worth making them if you do them well. But my issue with them is just the pressure. I think so many people see the turn of a new year as a fresh and blank slate, which is great. But sometimes if we kind of cast out too big too early, we can end up in a shame spiral when we get off track. Because just because we're on the 1st of January or we're in the month of January doesn't mean that you're a completely different person.
As much as we would like to think so.
Yeah, I know. Look, me too. Honestly, I wish it was that easy, but it's not.
Beck, in terms of, you know, setting up ourselves for more success rather than for a shame spiral, what are some of the habits we can put in place around those goals or resolutions to give us a better chance?
Yeah, I think we do want to give ourselves a chance. That's the word. You really want to set yourself up for having a fighting chance at making change. But it's really important to understand that change needs to be made usually on a much smaller level than we assume it does. So we think that we can, you know, make changes in our diet, our exercise regime, how often we're going to floss our teeth, et cetera, 45,000 changes at once. And yet what happens is your fear system becomes so overwhelmed so quickly that you then become immobilized and can't do any of it. So I think it's important to start small and go for quick wins.
Beck, we're in an age of confrontation for some reason or other. I'm not sure why. And you've written a magnificent new book called Difficult People. Sitting opposite the gentleman as I do most Sundays.
Here we go. Sorry, Beck.
I'm just wondering, what's the option? Can you give us some hints in just, you know that it's going to be potentially a difficult conversation. You know that you've possibly even had differences of opinion before. What little reassurances based on your outstanding book can you give us?
That's really complimentary, Gerald. Thank you so much. But first of all, let's just clarify, this is not a therapy session for whatever's happening between you and Luke.
No. Oh, we don't have time.
I'm hanging up then.
We don't have time.
We don't have time. We'll work through that after the call. Look, I think you've hit the nail on the head with the fact that difficult people are often predictable. So we've been in this situation with them before, and one of the things that happens with difficult people is they take up all this rent-free space in our head. We anticipate that they're going to be difficult again. And what happens is that makes us feel anxious, it makes us doubt ourselves, it means that whenever we're going to be around them, we're already feeling outside our comfort zone and feeling like we can't cope. So one of the things that I think it's really important to think about with these people is if you know they're going to be difficult, you also have a choice to manage how much contact you have with them and potentially to change the way you have contact with them. So sometimes we don't have a choice necessarily to remove someone from our life, especially if we work with them or especially if they're a family member and we don't feel confident to be able to make that choice to go no contact straight away. But sometimes what we can do is actually think about how we're having contact with them. So if face-to-face feels too overwhelming, you can shift to email or to text or to phone. And sometimes if that feels too overwhelming, you can actually change the regularity with which that you have contact with them.
Rebecca, you are a breath of fresh air. We all love your book right here. I also love that you've got a difficult person checklist in there. It is absolutely jam-packed with really helpful information to go into 2024, really taking ownership of your energy and your space and how you give yourself to others. Can you just give me one strategy that we could apply with a difficult person? Just a little take-home tip.
Yeah, I think that if you're going to remember anything around difficult people, it's that you as an adult get to decide which other adults are in your space when they're not psychologically safe for you.
Oh,
yeah. Ooh, getting a tattoo today, it's going to be that.
It's going to be that with a picture of your face. Thank you for doing our show this morning, Beck. And if anyone would like to get in touch or find more about your books, including Difficult People, which is a must read, you can head to rebeccaray.com.au. You're a breath of fresh air. Have a wonderful Sunday. Let's jump into some more calls. Wendy from Sydney, good morning.
Morning, Wendy.
Hi. I've just been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis and bronchiectasis.
Yes.
Just wondering regarding with COVID now, how isolated do you think I need to be?
Well, look, there's so much about the current issues around COVID that we really don't understand, Wendy, because there's new strains and all sorts of things. I think just some common sense. Avoid crowds where there are people who don't appear healthy, particularly if you're in a closed space. But look, you can't stay at home and hide under your bed. You've got a life to lead. Avoid crowds. Look after yourself. Get plenty of sleep. Those things we mentioned before. Just eat sensibly and we'll get through this. But COVID is something we're going to have to learn to live with. Whether it'll be quite as dramatic as what it appears to be being made at the moment, time will tell. But just, you manage your RA, you manage your lung health, and be sensible about exposure to people who may have COVID.
Thanks for your call, Wendy. Let's go to Steve in Dulwich Hill. Good morning.
Hello, Steve.
Good morning, guys. I've got this recurring rash under my right elbow, back of my arm, mm-hmm. and sometimes on my right buttock. Mm-hmm. Now, it looks like a worm, so I've gathered it was ringworm. So I've got some Canesten daily, and I apply that.
Mm-hmm. What's happened?
It goes away, but then it just comes back like after 3 weeks.
It's probably then not fungal if that's the case, Steve. And look, if you look at a good moisturiser, there's a number of outstanding moisturisers that you just use regularly, at least twice a day. So after you've had a shower, towel dry, put the moisturiser on, and you'll find this is the time of the year where for all sorts of reasons, irritations on your skin can happen, as probably in winter as well. Good moisturiser, there's a number of them around, not the sorbolene type stuff. Get something that perhaps the goat milk range, something that's thicker, rub it in well, and it will respond. But I don't think it's antifungal. If it doesn't respond, send me a photograph of your elbow to the website, houseofwellness.com.au, the Ask tab, and I will have a look at it for you.
Keep those calls coming in, 131-873 after the break. Food safety at home, right here on The House of Wellness.
You're listening to The House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
When you face the world with dermatologist-recommended Cetaphil, they do the skincare and you do you. Like Australian Olympic swimmer Emma McKeon. Emma loves her new Cetaphil Bright Healthy Radiance Perfecting Serum hydrates her skin. She's got a power schedule, so she needs a serum with the power of 7 benefits in one. It reduces dark spots and fine lines, tones, and boosts radiance. Emma gets dermatologist tested Cetaphil for a great price every day at Chemist Warehouse.
The House of Wellness thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get life space at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Our number 131873. If you want to get your call on air, we'd love to hear from you with any wellbeing question. But right now, we are in the middle of summer. So this morning, we are looking at safe ways to store and transport food, what to do for emergency power outages, and just how long, and I always ask this question, can we stretch those leftovers, especially after Christmas? Joining us on the line is Lydia Bookman, a spokesperson for the Food Safety Information Council. Welcome to the show, Lydia. We understand that with the unpredictable weather across the country recently, you are getting a lot of questions about how long food can last in fridges and freezers with power outages.
Yes, we are indeed, and our heart goes out for those people affected by floods or even the poor lady who rang because her husband had unplugged the spare freezer in the garage to use a power tool and not plugged it back in again. he was in trouble, yes.
Oh.
But it can happen any time. But look, if the power does go out, one of the first things to do is to write down the time it went out. No good saying things will last a couple of hours if you don't know how long it's been out. But, you know, write it down, stick that post-it note on the fridge so you remember. Food can stay safe in your fridge without power for 2 hours. Bear in mind it should be running at 5 degrees Celsius or below before that. And don't keep opening the door to check how it's going because that doesn't work very well, letting the hot air in. So a couple of hours for your fridge. If you've stored it for more than 4 hours, you know, you need to throw it out. But you can also use it. You can cook it up for dinner if you've got a barbecue out the back or something like that so you don't have to waste it. Have your friends around unless everyone's got their power out too. And if there's enough room in your freezer, after a couple of hours, you can take foods out of the fridge and put them in the freezer or in an esky with ice bricks, and that will last a little bit longer for you. But your freezer's quite good. It can, if it's running at, it should be about minus 18 degrees Celsius. Check that at some stage with a thermometer, make sure it's running at the right temp. If your food's in the freezer, it will last between 1 to 2.5 days, which is, people forget about that, so that's quite good. But once again, don't keep checking how long, opening it up and having a look to see how it's going. So.
That's so practical, Lydia. Yeah. Thank you so much for those tips. When it comes to outside the context of a power outage, we've all read the stories on how we can use our turkey leftovers from Christmas Day in casseroles and pastas. And I mean, now we're kind of coming up to midway through January. The question really arises, how long should we be keeping our leftover food for?
Yes, look, if it's in your fridge, you're well past that date. Yeah.
Damn it.
And the ham too. I know in the olden days, you know, Grandma used to keep the ham for months. But bear in mind, these days, foods are a lot healthier. They have less salt and sugar content in them, so they don't last as long. So they're not going to last that long. Really, leftovers shouldn't be more than 2 to 3 days in your fridge at 5 degrees Celsius or under. If you're not going to eat them straight away, the best idea is, you know, as soon as they stop steaming or you've finished a meal, you know, divide them into small containers and put them straight in the freezer, and then they'll last for months. And you don't have to worry about, oh, is that 2 or 3 days you've had them in there. So, your freezer is your friend. Don't forget that one too.
Lydia,
look, if it's more than...
Sorry, I just... Look, the question on everybody's lips, really, is food dropped on the floor. How long have we got?
Isn't it the five-second rule, Lydia?
Someone pointed out once, it's, you know, it's at the value of the food.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah.
No, that is okay. People worry too because, you know, their little toddlers crawl around on floors. It's not a good idea to eat food off the floor, but, you know, it's not likely to kill you. If it's something dry, if it's something sort of sticky, you know, then it's going to pick up bacteria off the floor. One of the useful tips also is don't wear your outdoor shoes inside your house because you're going to tread all sorts of nasties around.
If you've
noticed what happens on city streets, you probably don't want to put that into your house.
Oh, Lydia, I'm going to do that without a doubt. I'm not going to wear those shoes in. You're amazing. Thank you for being on our show. If you'd like more info about staying safe from Food Safety Information Council, head to foodsafety.asn.au. Thank you, Lydia. And our last call for the day, Tony from Victoria. Good morning.
Hello, Tony.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm 67 years old, and about 11 years ago, I was diagnosed with BPH. And about 12 to 14 months ago, my urologist test put me on telsolosin. And I'm just wondering, I hear ads about the PLS, about Caruso's PLS tablets. I'm wondering whether they could be a replacement, perhaps, or an augmentation for my current medication on tamsulosin.
The herb of choice involved in all of these, Tony, is called saw palmetto, and it certainly can be used to augment the benefits of the medication you're taking, can be safely taken together.
Amazing. Thank you for all those amazing calls this week. And we'll be right back with more House of Wellness right after the break.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Are hay fever allergies holding your child back? Try Telfast from Chemist Warehouse. Telfast 180 milligram gives fast-acting non-drowsy hay fever relief for kids over 12 years, while Telfast oral liquid helps kids over 6 months with hives and kids over 2 years with hay fever and year-round allergies. Get your kids back outdoors with Telfast. Available at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Get Fess at your local Chemist Warehouse. Great savings every day.
GQ and Sarah, thank you so much for joining me this morning. What an amazing show that we've had together. There's a wellness lift out in today's newspapers, but if we missed out on your call, head to houseofwellness.com.au so that you can hit the Ask tab. Gerald gets back to each and every question. And if you want to listen to any more of our episodes, you can catch up at houseofwellness.com.au. As always, thanks to our incredible friends at Chemist Warehouse. Have an amazing day ahead.